Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Text 31, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Taijasan indriyarnyeva kriya jnana vibhagashaha pranasya hi kriya shaktir buddhe vijnana shaktita. Translation, egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. Purport. It has been explained in the previous verses that mind is the product of ego in goodness, and that the function of the mind is acceptance and rejection according to desire. But here, intelligence is said to be the product of ego in passion. That is the distinction between mind and intelligence. Mind is a product of egoism in goodness, and intelligence is a product of egoism in passion. The desire to accept something and reject something is a very important factor of the mind. Since mind is a product of the mode of goodness, it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha. If it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, then the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. It is stated by Narottam Das Thakur that we always have desires. Desire cannot be stopped, but if we transfer our desires to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the perfection of life. As soon as this desire is transferred to lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated by matter. Desire has to be purified. In the beginning, this purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master, since the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness. As far as intelligence is concerned, it is clearly stated here that it is a product of egoism in passion. By practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness, and by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality or Mahatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Samahatma sudurlabhaha. Such a great soul is very rare. In this verse, it is clear that both kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action, are products of egoism in the mode of passion. And because the sense organs for activity and for acquiring knowledge require energy, the vital energy or life energy is also produced by egoism in the mode of passion. We can actually see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. It is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced, because sex life or passionate life is the impetus for the material advancement of civilization. For those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is almost no existence of the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. We find that those who engage in Krishna consciousness are materially poor, but one who has eyes can see who is the greater. Although he appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Persons infatuated by material consciousness are very intelligent in discovering things for material comforts, but they have no access to understanding. They have no access to understanding the spirit, soul, and spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire, the purified desire for devotional service, as stated in the Narada Pancharatra. Engagement in the service of the Lord when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness is called pure devotion. Within this section of Bhagavatam, both the translations and the purports, which expand on the points in the verses, we have an exposition of psychology, how people think in contaminated consciousness. And many of the things which mundane psychologists say, they fit in line with what's stated here, but they don't have the whole picture. They can understand that sex life is it's an unspoken principle. Maybe it's not even it's not enunciated. It's not clearly expressed, but it's a known principle that if you want to make people more materialistic, then you increase their sex desire. That's the whole modern civilization is especially running on that. They want to make people more materialistic, so they purchase more goods, and therefore everywhere sex desire is being promoted. So here it's said that, because when people become more inclined towards sex life, then they're prepared to work hard to make money, because Minun, Mi Puying, which is a Thai saying, which means if you have money, you have a woman. And it goes to say that if you don't, you don't. If you don't have money, you don't have a woman, either licitly or illicitly. Licitly means in their arranging the marriage, they want to see how much are they earning, or what's their educational qualification. Or if it's a love marriage, at least the so-called love, at least the women are smart enough not to fall in love with someone who doesn't have lots of money, generally. Generally speaking. So, even if you're ugly like hell, if you have money, you can get married. So money is required. But one who is not very materialistic, he doesn't have money. So to make people more and more materialistic, so they buy all kinds of things that they don't need. The example I give every time is Pepsi Cola. Could be Coca-Cola also. No one needs Coca-Cola. No one would buy it if it wasn't advertised with lots of young men and women jumping around and looking happy by drinking Coca-Cola, which doesn't happen by drinking Coca-Cola, but we're so damn stupid. Not us, because we got Prabhupada's books. Although some of us, the more stupid of our devotees, they also drink Coca-Cola. They're not reading Prabhupada's books. They must be reading the magazines in which these advertisements come. So the association in the mind. Drink Coca-Cola and enjoy sex. So then Coca-Cola, I have to have money so I can buy. Not only Coca-Cola, you have to have this fancy watch and fancy car and so many symbols of prestige. It's all this prestige. Which part of Hyderabad do you live in? What's that called? Banjara Hills? That's the high class area. That means where all the successful dacoits and politicians live. High class. Dacoits and their brothers, the politicians. Oh, and the police chief probably also. They're all in league together. So, high class area, then you have to have It's not enough just to have a car. In India, it used to be enough to have just have a car to be prestigious. In those days, there was only Ambassador and Fiat car. But now, it is not enough just to have a car. Maruti, that's not prestigious. Mercedes, but even that's too much for most people. What if some Ford car should be long. Never mind you get stuck in the traffic jams, but this is prestige. It's all sex. It's all just to show. I am materially successful and therefore I have the option to enjoy sex. It's ridiculous. But that's the way the material world is running on, especially the materialistic civilization as we see it now. It's a practical principle. We see when young men start to become interested in Krishna consciousness, and often their parents, they decide it's time for them to get married quick. Because they have the idea if they get married, then they won't be so spiritual. The cure for spiritual life is sex life. But we put it around the other way. The cure for sex life is Krishna consciousness. But they have their way of seeing that if he gets more involved, if he has wife, family, all these things, then won't be so interested. This, it's not a new policy. Raghunath Das Goswami also, his parents, they had him too much interested in Krishna consciousness. Little bit is okay, but not too much. They were also little bit is okay types. But he was married, but still he was running away. Then his mother was saying to his father, well, better tie him up with ropes. And father said, he's got a beautiful wife, lots of money, and what will tying him up do? If you can't tie him up with a beautiful woman, then the rope won't keep him. That's the biggest rope. So Raghunath Das transcended sex attraction. No interest in material life. That's the test. Sometimes we hear devotees say that, well, is it all right that I can have a good career and earn lots of money and I'll use it for serving the Vaishnavas? I want to have lots of money and be rich and be prestigious, but only for Krishna consciousness. I don't have any material desires, but I just want to do it for Krishna. But the thing is that to earn lots of money and become rich, the impetus for that, you want to say that the impetus will be to serve Krishna. But that impetus is coming from the mode of passion. And one has to think in a manner, money, 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 oh yes, for serving Krishna. Money, 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 oh, for serving Krishna. Money, 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 money. You have to think about money, and then occasionally you think of the excuse that, well, I needed to serve Krishna. But actually you're interested in money. And with that comes it's all produced from the mode of passion. So with that comes all the trappings of the mode of passion. You can't cultivate the mode of passion in only one way. But the desire for sex and then prestige and how people will notice me. We can say I'm doing it for Krishna. I'm going to have a big house and a big car and people will notice me. And then I'll preach. But if you want to preach, you don't need. If you actually want to preach, then the desire to preach itself, which is a spiritual desire, purely spiritual desire, that will be fulfilled even without all these things. Of course, it may be an advantage for preaching Krishna consciousness to have these things. But even if one doesn't, one can preach Krishna consciousness. It's not that one requires to have
big house and a big car and a high position and an MSc, and then you can preach. It's not required. It may have some attraction in the beginning. People may be, they may respect that because people are materialistic. But if you have all these things, but we're not pure in our motive to preach, if we think, well, I have to make more people, we'll only make educated people devotees, or we will, then it's materialistic way of thinking. Instead of thinking that how to benefit all the jivas, we're thinking we'll only preach to the educated jivas, because these uneducated jivas, they're below our level. And it's a mundane way of thinking, actually. Even Bhakti Shastri degree in itself is not in and of itself helpful for preaching. If we have that and we have that knowledge by which we can present Krishna consciousness, that's very good. But then what is actually required is the attitude of surrender to Krishna and to want to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then even if one is not educated or prestigious, then all knowledge will come. Knowledge comes from bhakti. Bhakti doesn't come from knowledge. This is the misunderstanding. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. It's not that I'll become very learned or very austere and then bhakti will come from that, but rather if one has bhakti, then knowledge and renunciation, actual knowledge and actual renunciation, they are products of bhakti. That when we say gyan here, gyanam chayad ahaitukam, that means the realization, I am eternal spirit soul, I am meant for serving Krishna. That realized knowledge will be manifested in the heart of one who is serious to serve Krishna. And details that will also be revealed to the extent that Krishna wants it to be revealed. One can learn the details. One can learn many shlokas and one can learn all the details. But one has to not only learn, but one has to absorb the message also. Otherwise we find it used to be quite common in India, and still some people do. They memorize shlokas, maybe Vishnu Sahasranama, they memorize chapters of Bhagavad Gita, and then they'll tell you, if you read this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you can, I don't know, go to the moon or something like this. You can get some benefit. But this is all just to, that's there in Shastra, Gita Mahatmya, you get this benefit, that benefit. But that's just, these benefits, that's just for foolish people, actually. Or we have Ekadashi Mahatmya. The actual Mahatmya is that by hearing Bhagavad Gita and applying that in our lives, then we get what is the actual benefit? That Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mang Namaskaru Mame Vaishyasi Satyang Te Pratijane Priyosi Me. Then we understand that we're meant for thinking of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, bowing down before Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, going to Krishna. And therefore we mold our lives according to that so that we can go to Krishna. But less intelligent persons, they think, oh, we'll just recite the verses. So they recite parrot-like. They get some benefit. But the real benefit comes from trying to understand what the verse means and applying that in our lives. So these are the basic principles of Krishna consciousness we should learn. Otherwise, if we don't have these basic principles fixed up, so people, they ask all kinds of questions, like, is it all right to chew tulsi? Or all kinds of questions. Whether every detail. I mean, there are so many things to do in Krishna. Why don't we put our finger on the beads and one finger is out, and you know, so many things. All right, it's a question. So, but what the real thing is, what is the purpose of life? What are we doing here? How can we attain to Krishna? What are we meant for here? Otherwise, you know, why do we shave our heads and all this kind of thing? These questions can go on forever. But what is the purpose of life? To satisfy Krishna. That we should understand. Otherwise, it's just ritualism. We have to offer some fruit, flowers. Okay, we did that. We got some old rotten flowers from the market and we offered them. So that's it. That's my bhakti. So Krishna is satisfied. Change of heart is required. How much we're entangled by these materialistic desires. How much we're thinking of how I can live comfortably, how I can live nicely. Instead of thinking how I can serve Krishna. This is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Material consciousness means to think how I can live nicely. And that is, that consciousness, that means deharami. Aram. Deharam. My body is very comfortable. Aram haram hai. This idea, I shall be comfortable, it's abominable. So this idea, this is exacerbated by promoting sexual desires. And that's everywhere, in every phase of human life, until we come to Krishna consciousness. There's that well-known anecdote. Prabhupada was with some of his disciples. He was in one rich man's house, and the man brought all his relatives, one after the other, said, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my kaki, kaka, nana, and on and on, bringing them out and bringing the next one in. At some point, Prabhupada turned to his disciples and said, this is my sex life. He wants to show, I've expanded myself, imitating Krishna. Eko Bahu Syan, the Krishna, he expands as all the Vishnu Tattva, all the Vishnu forms, and all the Jivas, all expanded from Krishna. I have expanded myself. Nowadays, it's Hamdo Hamare Ek, or something like that. Or Hamdo Hamare Do. Me, my wife, my child, and our dog. So, Hamare Do. So, they become so attached to the dog. They put kumkum on the forehead, and a very religious dog. It's a good dog. Also joins in our kirtan. And when the dog dies, they'll put the picture on the wall in loving memory of our dog. So when they expand themselves in other ways, they like to show, like that car, big car, and then, where are you going on holiday? Nowadays it's a new idea, go on holidays. It's also all promoted by advertising. Otherwise in India there was no idea celebrating Christmas, New Year. New Year means each state has its New Year. Pongal in Tamil Nadu, just coming up. Or Diwali, as in around that time in Gujarat, isn't it? And in Bengal, it's Pohila Boishak in the summer, actually. For some reason, they have it right in the middle of summer. So, but now they introduced all the Western idea, Mlecha New Year, 1st of January. And then the Valentine's Day, all these things they've introduced just so that you can sell, they can sell more things. People should have more parties, and so you have to you have to go on holiday now. You have to go, for any respectable person, you have to go now to show you're more prestigious. You have to go overseas. You can't, it's not enough to go to Uti, or they have so many hill stations. Uti is in the south, that's well known, but you have to go. Now it's Singapore, Malaysia, and if you're more rich, then you'll go to Europe. Dubai, shopping festival, coming up, must be, it's around, must be started now, shopping festival time in Dubai. Dubai mein sab dub jate, pagal paan mein, they're all immersed in madness, shopping madness. So it's you have to tell your friends. You see, well, I won't be able to attend your party because I'll be on holiday in Dubai at the time. Oh, really? It's in holiday in Dubai. Oh, I better go to Dubai too. So it's all just for showing. It's like little children. They like to show off. I'm better than you. It's the same thing. Nonsense. People spend their whole lives being complete nonsense and they think that this is something very wonderful. Amitabh Bachchan, everything he's advertising. Whatever's being advertised, you see his picture everywhere. Say someone gave me a Parker pen, and whose picture was on the packet? To show it's prestigious. He's supposed to be a symbol of prestige, so there's a picture of him holding a Parker pen. AB. So, there's the idea that prestige, or people say that, I'm just going to go and visit my friend, and then you just drop the name of the chief minister or something. Then I'm inviting the, and then you say the film star or something. You'd like to show all they spend their whole lives just interested in that which will increase their prestige. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya apinoti na sadhu manye yata atmanoyam asan api kleshada asadeha. People who are insane, not only insane, but certainly insane. Nunang, definitely. Nunang means definitely. Pramata. Mata means insane, and pramata means even more insane. So nunang pramata, they're certainly completely insane. And this is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's completely sealed the matter. Who, they engage in sinful activities just for the sake of some transitory happiness, which causes them to get bodies by which they suffer again and again and again. This is insanity. India, definitely, the most insane people. Because they have this culture, by which they have this knowledge, all these shastra is spoken, is the culture of India, but they're forgetting that deliberately. They're imitating the culture of the West, which is just meant for going, creating hell here on this world. They say they don't believe in hell, but they're busy creating it here. So, but at least in India, people should know that this causes you to get born again and again. Traditional Indian culture is meant for not promoting materialism, but for promoting spiritual consciousness, understanding that this human form of life is meant for developing the intelligence, meant for developing the activities by which we can get free from birth and death. So Indian people have become more insane by taking up that which is not for their self-interest. Apaswartha Parayana, this is called. Being very much attached to that which is not good for us at all. And we see it all the time. People are smoking, and on the packet it says, they have different messages in different countries. Smoking is injurious to health. In some country, maybe England or something, they just put smoking kills. And still people are smoking. And the doctors are smoking. They should know. If anyone should know, but they themselves, they're smoking more than others. So like that, the whole of materialistic civilization is like that. We're doing that which we know is not for our benefit, but still we're addicted to it. Even materially not for our benefit. Smoking, or it was so much pollution, and then causing so much disturbance in the weather. But because someone somewhere wants to make a lot of money, then all the pollutants are still produced. Why? Because they're attached to that which gives us some immediate pleasure. Just like we were discussing yesterday, that people, they'll engage in sex life, and they know that afterwards they'll regret. They go to some prostitute, and then again they know, you feel disgusted. I know, sometimes people tell me, I went to the prostitute, now I feel, so bad. So for the rest of your life, you'll be feeling disgusted with yourself, but just for that few seconds of not even pleasure, but some sensation of thinking, this is something wonderful. And then you're thinking it's going to be one, and then you go, and then it wasn't wonderful, and then the rest of your life you're lamenting. People know I won't be happy by that. But still, that addiction to that which is not for our real self-interest, that is the bane of the whole materialistic civilization at any time, but especially at the present time. Most foolish civilization. Definitely, people are extremely foolish. This whole advertising industry works on the assumption, and actually it's a fact, that people are foolish. Just like that example, you couldn't sell one bottle of Coca-Cola ever unless you advertise it. And it's just advertised on the basis of foolishness. That people are so foolish that they'll buy it because they see some people in the advertisement jumping around and dancing. And when you drink it, you don't get that. But somehow in the mind you're thinking, it'll make me happy, which doesn't. Or this cigarette they sell by showing people dressed up in cowboy clothes, but you don't become a cowboy by smoking it. And even if you did, what would be the benefit? But it's just some kind of imagination. I'll smoke the cigarette and then I really don't know, but somehow they sell it. It's just based on understanding that people are foolish, and if you advertise something, they'll buy it, even though it doesn't benefit them in the slightest. So this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is meant for giving real intelligence. It's very difficult to absorb this knowledge if we're in materialistic consciousness. First of all, we feel we don't have the time. The way modern life is, we're always so busy, our mind is always so agitated that even if we have some time, we can't read this. Maybe the best thing we could read is a cartoon book. I saw in Japan, on the trains, people, they buy... Japan, they're supposed to be intelligent, right? There's Japanese people. They don't read books. You see that everyone in the train, they're reading cartoon books, that's all. And so they buy it and they throw it. That's all. Because the mind is so agitated, they can't think of philosophy. They can't think of anything higher. Either they've got their Walkman in the ears or the cartoon, and that's it. And the cartoon just agitates your mind more, but because it agitates it in a different way, you think it's some kind of pleasure. People are so used to having their minds agitated by that what they call pleasure is just another kind of agitation. Smoking, going to the movie, having sex. It's some more agitation for the mind. People don't know what it means to be peaceful. Unless one is peaceful, he can't even begin to consider what is the purpose of life. What happens after death? Who is God? What is our relationship with Him? So, at least those who have understood the importance of Krishna consciousness should not be caught up in this materialistic civilization. Of course, we're living in the middle of it. We're living in the middle of a big city. It's difficult to escape from the economic clutches. I was saying, if you don't have money, you don't have a woman. If you don't have money, then you don't have bread either. Actually, if you have faith in Krishna, Krishna will provide everything. There are two sayings. One is, Nahi suptasya singhasya pravishante mukhe mrigam. That without even the king of the jungle, the lion, he has to do some work to get his food. He doesn't just lie down and order some animal, come into my mouth. It doesn't work. He has to go and catch it. But then on the higher level, for those who have faith in it, then ananyas chintayanto mam yejanaf paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. If one is actually fully absorbed in Krishna, then Krishna will provide everything. That few years ago in London, I was standing with Jayadvaita Swami. We were standing in the park after Rath Yatra in London. And we were it was just the Rath Yatra had come and they were setting up the stalls and this and that. And one lady came up to us and said, well, asked a few questions and said, well, how do you live? You don't work. Jayadvaita Swami said, Krishna provides everything. He said, well, how? He said, well, whatever we need, Krishna sends. How does that work practically? He said, well, Krishna sends whatever we need. She wasn't satisfied and she went away. Then 2 minutes later, someone came up and brought us plates of prasadam. We didn't ask. We didn't even know there was prasadam arranged. I guess we should have guessed, but automatically it just comes like that. There's so many stories in the early days of the movement, and that this Shama Sundar, he told our devotees, they'd rented some storefront. They had no idea how to pay the money, and it was coming time to pay, and they had so many, they'd done a Rath Yatra, they had so many bills pending. They never had any idea how we're going to pay all this. And then one morning they went out for chanting japa, and just they saw in the street so many $100 bills just blowing in the street. They saw Krishna. This is Krishna. Krishna has sent. That also, one year in New York, they distributed so many books, and they were selling at less than cost price, and they had no idea. They were going thousands and thousands of books. And each book they distributed, their bill went up and up and up. Then, so they're just to pay the bills, they're emptying out the collection box in the temple every day. It wasn't very much. And then last day of the book distribution marathon, they opened up the box and they found it's like a few thousand dollars. It just covered all the bills. So, Krishna has his way of working. But generally it's recommended that we should do some work. That Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Sharira yatra pichate nas prasidhyat akarmana. Even to maintain the body, some kind of work has to be done. And but at the same time, we shouldn't be caught up in the fantasy of modern life. You have to do some work, but this idea of promotion, career, I will be so wonderfully advanced. You have to give your soul. If you want to become successfully material, you have to give your soul to it. You can't be successful in the material world unless you're fully focused on it. They have all these books, How to Make Your Life Successful, and they bring out about 10 books every day on this theme. I always guess the people who write those books, they're not successful, because if they were, they wouldn't need to write them. They're trying to make some money. If they were successful, then they wouldn't have to write the book. You always find the people who teach management courses, you give them anything to manage, it's a complete flop. And so there's a saying, if you don't know how to do something, you can't get a job in it, then teach it. That's the last thing you have left to do. So anyway, all these books, they say that if you want to be successful, you have to focus, you have to concentrate. And it's like that. If you want to be successful in the material world, you have to give your soul. People who are becoming successful in the material sense, they're working 18 hours a day, or maybe a little less, 7 days a week. Sri Giridhari Das, who is now a material failure and a spiritual success, was working in some company where the manager was pushing them so much, you don't have to go home, you can stay here. You can sleep, whatever you need to sleep, you can sleep here, stay at the... And even he got everyone just working, and he still wasn't satisfied. He said, you're doing it, but you don't really have love. You have to love your work and love the company. And a complete madman. I mean, people are working so they can feed their families. But he's saying you have to love the company. So if you have this kind of... If you sell your soul, there's a saying, to sell your soul. It comes from an old book in German by... One German author, Goethe, I don't know how it's pronounced, it looks like that. Dr. Faust, he made a deal with Satan. Satan said, I'll give you everything, you just give me one thing, give me your soul. Then I'll provide all the enjoyment you want, everything you want, but you have to give me your soul. So that's selling our soul. If we give our soul to being a material success, we might be. Because not everyone, even if you try, some people are trying very hard and still they're materially a failure. But better we give our soul for that which will actually benefit our soul. Our soul belongs to Krishna. However successful we are materially, it's anyway a failure. Everyone's a failure. Bill Gates is a great success. That's right. No, he's a failure. Because he'll die and then there won't be anything. He won't have one nickel. He won't have one cent. Who's the richest man in the world? Bill Gates, the king of Brunei. They'll all have nothing in a few years. And even they have so much money, do they have any satisfaction? Unlikely. So many great people. There's some website with 20,000 biographies. You can go and you can read the 20 biographies of 20,000 people who made their marks on the world. And they're all gone, who knows where. We don't know. We one of the successes in modern history, we know what happened to him. The first Prime Minister of independent India became, in his next life, he was born in Sweden. An astrologer told that one man in Sweden has two dogs, and one of them was previously Manya Jawaharlal. Whoops, shouldn't say his name. Pandit. Well, that was that. He won't be there now because dogs don't live that long. He died when? 1950 something? 64, 63, something like that. So, this is what happens. The great success of today, maybe it'll be a success in the next life also. He wins the dog show or something. First prize in the dog show, successful dog. But to get born again and again and again, this means everyone is a failure, because the real success of human life is to get free from birth and death. This we should tell, at least in India people can accept this. That you live your life in such a way that we don't have to get born again. Train your children. You're so busy training them. Pre-KG, pre-pre-KG. Now they have, someone was telling me in Bangalore, they have for 6-month-old babies, they're taking them away and giving them so. Why? Because the parents, they'll be out at work. Who's going to look after? They don't want to live with their parents. I mean, the parents of the babies don't want to live with their parents. So they give them to some pre-KGers like this. They're so busy training up the children so they can also be successful materialists. Why not train them in such a way that they can get free from birth and death? Why not give them that knowledge? His knowledge is here. It's not difficult to get free from birth and death if we know the process. It's easier mentally or socially just to be carried away by the flow of modern life. It's easier just to be another fool with all the rest of the fools. To be intelligent, to live according to principles, means one has to be somewhat brave. That you don't care if people say that, why you're wasting your time chanting Hare Krishna. You don't care. You don't care if people criticize. Why should we care? People, they don't know what the goal of life is. They think that simply earning a lot of money and going to parties and drinking beer, this is the goal of life. Then why should? Rather, if such people criticize us, we should know, now I know I'm on the right path. If you criticize me, then I take it as a compliment. Thank you very much. We should know what is sanity. People are living an insane life, acting in a manner which is certain to cause them distress in this life, what to speak of in future lives. So as Prabhupada is quoted in the purport here, such a great soul is very rare, who fixes his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, this understanding of who we are, how we are supposed to live our lives, that is made widely available. Mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through Prabhupada, giving these books.
Sometimes we become surprised, we're distributing books and we go to someone's door and they say, we have the book, and I read it all. And we think, oh, what didn't happen to you? You read the book and you're still living your life as you're... You should, after reading the book, you should change our way of thinking. Sometimes at the beginning of our book, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has, sometimes at the beginning of his books, he gives some introduction for the reader, how to read this book. Don't read it like an ordinary book. People, Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the beginning of one book is writing that nowadays, he was writing in the late 19th century, it's become a fashion that people read novels at night before they go to sleep. This book is not for reading like that. That's something you just read just before you die, no. And you sleep very peacefully. But no, it's to be read with attention. It's not some kind of entertainment. Every word is very valuable. We should consider what is being instructed here. These books are meant for guiding us out of the insane way of thinking by which we think, by which we consider that everything that is not in our self-interest actually is our self-interest. These books, this knowledge is meant for giving us the actual knowledge that we read. Otherwise, I was saying people read cartoons, maybe a slight step up from that is novels. I don't know if it's, but these novels, it's like you read the whole thing. I have also wasted my life. I didn't read many, but I have read. You just read some novel, and it's just someone's imagination. It's not. There's nothing real there. People go to a movie, and there's some story, and they cry, and so. But it's all just make believe. It's not real. They read the story, and what's going to happen next? Nothing's going to happen next. Because it's all just imagination. And people, they waste their lives. People they become rich and famous. I saw one headline in the newspaper that some book about Harry Potter sold, I think, 2 million copies on the first day it came. And it's just it's just nonsense, that's all. I mean, there's nonsense, there are different degrees of nonsense. I mean, there's what you can call real life nonsense. I mean, that's what we call so-called real life. You can read the newspaper, that's things that really happen. So-and-so politician got assassinated, bridge collapsed, plane crashed. So this is all one kind of nonsense. And then you have sports, that's another level of nonsense. And then you get novels, and that's another level of nonsense. It's, you know, which level do you take your nonsense on? Better just forget it all. One word of Srimad Bhagavatam is more valuable than all the libraries in the world. People are so... This university, if you want university education, this university was started in the Western world for studying the Bible, actually. It was started for giving religious instruction. Of course, that's also not clear knowledge, but the idea was that education should be in something religious. Previously in India also, education meant that one is educated in Ved Shastra. Now education means MSc, PhD, MBBS. If someone wants to study Shastra, the parents will be disturbed. What's wrong? That's not useful. You can't do anything practical with that. So that's true with your university degree, you can do something practical. I mean, practical means which is something which works in this material world. It will practically entangle us in material life. It will
It's something practical. It keeps us in material life, birth after birth.
So in that sense, we can say the knowledge of Krishna consciousness from the materialistic point of view, it's impractical. Because this glorious cycle of birth and death that we've been sailing along, it stops it. That's ongoing, riding the waves of material life, finished, saved from material life. So please read these books, take them to heart. Don't get entangled in the modern civilization. We may have to live in it to some extent, but Padmapatramivambasa, we can live in this world like the lotus lives, or the lotus grows in the water, but it doesn't touch the water. Even the water drops on the leaf, it will fall down again. So we should be in this world, but only living in this world to serve Krishna, not getting entangled. Entangled means trouble. Come out by reading these books. Who's reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly? You should all read. Make Bhagavatam your life. Prabhupada's instruction. Bhagavatam was Prabhupada's life. He was translating these books. Even one time he said, I can stop my traveling and preaching all over the world, but I cannot stop translating these books, because that is my service to my spiritual master. So he did both. He worked so hard. That was his ecstasy. Prabhupada said, these purports are my devotional ecstasies. We hear a lot about ecstasy these days. Prabhupada's ecstasy was giving the knowledge of Bhagavatam to the world. So if he wants some ecstasy as Prabhupada is giving it, instead of our imagined ecstasy, then read Prabhupada's books. Take the ecstasy as Prabhupada is giving it. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question about this? Yeah. Mike?
In Gita, Krishna says intelligence is superior to mind. Here we see that mind comes from sattva guna, whereas intelligence is from rajoguna.
Intelligence said to be a product of ego in passion.
Ego in passion.
Pure intelligence is a symptom of the soul. Perverted intelligence, by which we think, I am an enjoyer of this material world, that comes from egoism in the mode of passion. The intelligence is supposed to be higher than the mind, but for people whose minds are out of control, then the intelligence is run by the mind. Accepting and rejecting the functions of the mind go on the basis of what is favorable for my sense gratification, I accept, and what isn't, I reject. And in this way, the intelligence becomes subordinate to the wrongly oriented mind. So the intelligence should take charge and think, what's for my actual self-interest? And then the mind work according to the actual intelligence. But in polluted consciousness, the intelligence, it all becomes back to front. The intelligence is above the mind is supposed to be above the senses. But in polluted consciousness, we act according to the senses. The mind follows the senses, the intelligence follows the mind. It's animal platform. Human platform means that with intelligence we consider and control the mind, and we just use the senses as much as required, like the tortoise puts out its senses as needed and withdraws them. So in the material world, everything's back to front. Perverted reflection. Material consciousness. Any other question?
Maharaj, speaking about the modern education.
Is that working?
So, speaking about the modern education.
You want me to now rubber, put some soothing balm on the words I said. All right, modern education is all rubbish, no, but you're entangled.
No, my question is, so Maharaj, in Vedic civilization also, there were different kinds of educations, so different branches like architecture and military art,
yeah,
and etc.
Yeah, so, in Vedic culture, all those things were there.
So now also...
But not in the same ethos as in the modern age. In Vedic culture, everything was God-centered. Everything was taught with the understanding that spiritual life is more important than material life. But modern education means the basis is the idea that not that material life is more important than spiritual life, but there is nothing but material life. And even to think of spiritual life is considered something wrong. So it's a different outlook. Otherwise you'll find in Vedic culture everything, so much subtle knowledge is there based on the, just like architecture, then you have to consider all the, there are so many considerations based on the subtle knowledge of the Vedas. The consideration of different demigods, the directions, that you won't find in modern architecture. So we'll finish here at